Wow. That was an amazing Torah reading, wasn't it, with blessings and the curses. And but I will be speaking today from Yeshayahu. So let us pray. Abba Father, please open our eyes so that we will see the wondrous strings from your word today. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, we're looking today at being in the full light and being alert. Can we go to full of light, being full of light and alert. So, are we full of light? If we go to slide 2, please. Yeshayahu in chapter 60 and verse 1 to 4 says, "Arise, shine, Yerushalayim, for your light has come. The glory of Yehovah has risen over you. For although darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the peoples, on you Yehovah will rise. Over you will be seen his glory. Nations will go towards your light and kings towards your shining splendor. Raise your eyes and look around, for they are all assembling and counting, coming to you. Your sons are coming from far off, your daughters being carried on their nurses' lips." You know, that can speak to us. It was speaking to us as a people. We are in a stage of being in the darkness, especially what's happening around the world, regardless of what North Korea is doing, regardless of what America, China, or anything else is doing. We are in the darkness, and it's getting darker and darker as each day goes, especially with same-sex marriages and political correctness that's happening in this world. But we are the light. We are the light that should be shining in the darkness. The word shine is also translated and noted in the marginal reference Bibles as meaning to be enlightened. And we are enlightened. We've got the truth. And here is where the enlightening comes into play, if we go to slide 3, please. In Ephesians 1, 18 to 21, "I pray that he will give light to your heart, the eyes of your hearts." Not just lights to your eyes. It's got to get past the eye. It's got to get past the head. It's got to get into the heart. "I pray that he will give light to the I'll try it again. "I pray that he will give light to the eyes of your heart so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you. What rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people. And how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. It works with the same mighty strength he used when he worked in the Messiah to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven, far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, or any other name that can be named, either in the Olam Hazeh or in the Olam Haba." That is, in the world that's gone and in the world that's coming. So I want to talk today about the characteristics that enlightened believers have about themselves. The things I'm going to speak about are there for each and every one of you. A strong desire for them will be the only real cost you have to pay. We need to stop putting things off, and putting off anything that is as important and vital as being right with Yah. It's a time now in history when if we're not right with Yah, where are we going to be? Because if that nuclear bomb goes off from Korea, only Yah knows. We can be in its path. If there is one thing about this generation that is so dangerous and anti-Mashiach, it is the lack of concern in the world for the things of Yah. It is the loose lifestyle that people live. So loose that I actually heard on the radio how they are making popular movies into videos, into a video format, for people who do not want the filthy language and obscene sights in their viewing entertainment. And the radio announcer said it struck him badly because he did not want someone else telling him how moral he should be. You know, you look on TV today, there's hardly anything that you can look at. Everything is so immoral. This announcer made it sound mature and adult to think that we ought to let filmmakers and artists know that their work of art are left alone and untampered by any censors. That's what we're coming to, especially with same-sex marriage and things that are being pushed at the moment, the political correctness of the safe school agenda that is allowing little boys to dress up in girls' dresses, little boys to go into girls' toilets and change rooms. It's the blurring of the sexes in sport, where there's no longer football teams for men only. Now you've got all the women's football teams and cricket teams and whatever. What was once a male-oriented sport is now being women are boxing now. I mean, it's blurring of the genders. What it's doing to our children is shocking. We as adults know that it's wrong. They don't. And this is the world we are living in. There's no, what happened to being decent, moral, and upright? We've got people with the yes vote trying to run us down. People, we can't have a say. Our right to our own opinion is not even acceptable. When people come to the Church of Yah and live with the same mentality, casually shirking off moral right and values, walk around in a world like they'd never ever met Yeshua, professing to believers, yet committing fornication and cursing and sitting down in the seat of a house of Yah and feeling no conviction, is where we're at in many churches today. It's time that we as a messianic community is so prayed up and the Ruach HaKodesh is able to move so powerfully in our services so that people cannot stand if they want to live according to Yah's word. Amen. That's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want for our people. Yes. Yeshua, who said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of Yehovah has risen over you, over each and every one of you." Why? So the nations will come to your light. There were nations outside of Israel that needed to see the light when this was written. The light here, to me, is speaking of Torah and Yah's instructions to his people. Here we see the distinction made between Israel and the Gentiles. Simply, it means Israel and the other nations could follow and obey Torah. You didn't have to be an Israeli to follow Torah. Mm-hmm. All nations can follow Torah. And Sha'ul said that being enlightened is learning the power of Yah in resurrecting Yeshua HaMashiach and being seated with him in heavenly places. It's the same power that did that is in us who believe. That's what Sha'ul said. Adam fell and we all fell with him into sin. But Yeshua HaMashiach is raised and we are raised with him out of sin into glory. The scriptures teach that although we weren't there when Adam sinned, since he was earth's king, having dominion over the earth, he lost that dominion. And the losing of that dominion affected all of us. We were in Adam. It's as though you were in your grandfather, in a sense, before you were born. His actions affected your existence. If he had not married your grandmother, your parents would not have been born. And in turn, neither would you have been born. I tell that to my grandchildren all the time, seeing I have them every day. Or if he chose to live in some other nation in the world, you would have been born a citizen of a different country. And I praise Yah daily that my grandfather and grandmother and the children left Russia during the Russian Revolution and ended up in Australia, because I could still be over there. You know, and I praise Yah for that every single day, that I was meant for this land, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. And something was instilled in me as a very young child, purely and simply because of where I was born, not through whom I was born. Yah had his hand on me at a very young age. And I praise him for that, because I could still be a Russian Jew killed during the Second World War like the rest of all my family were, because they were all shot. Wouldn't be here today. Yah had it in control. Well, Adam sinned, and none of his children were born until after sin and after he was cast out of the garden. For that reason, we are all born in sin. But Yeshua came to lift us out. Therefore, if the light that enlightens us is knowing we are raised up with Yeshua HaMashiach, as Yeshua was raised, then the light that people come to see in Isaiah chapter 60 is the experience we have of being raised and seated above all that Hasatan can send to us and sin. What people want to see in believers, what people will come to see, is the position believers have with Yeshua, being seated over all enemies. They are not coming to see weak believers who are defeated. They want to see the glory. Yes. And we see that glory in answered prayer virtually every week. Yes, we know some people do die, but then we're all going to die and be called once. We all have to die at some stage in our lives. When you get to my age, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't ever expect to see great-grandchildren, because my only grandchildren are at 11 yesterday and 9 tomorrow. I don't expect to be, I could be here in 20 years' time, I don't know, but Yah's got that in control. I'll be well over 90. So Yah's got that in control. My mother's still here at 97, praise Yah. But, you know, we don't know. So we have to live each day according to what Yah gives us. We need to push that our enemy is defeated in everything they do, and we do. We need to see the glory. And every person, every believer, needs to see what Yah can do in a person who does believe and has put glory into their lives. Being seated above Hasatan or the devil or the adversary is what is actual real salvation. We can say a sinner's prayer, but unless we are walking in victory, regardless of what is being thrown at us, then that is true salvation. If you concentrate on these truths and focus your attention to making sure you learn them, you'll be amazed at what kind of a believer your life will start living. Hasatan conned his position over people, and he has them enslaved to one day finally die and be lost forever to Yehovah. But Yah seats us high above Hasatan. Anybody who sees this light is going to be in for some hassle from the adversary. That's true. I got attacked last week just speaking to you through many forms. I was sitting here feeling as if I was being choked and gagged, and I couldn't get the word out because Hasatan didn't want me to do it. But I pushed and pushed, and I got through. Anyone who sees this light is going to have hassles. Anyone who's going to stand up and be counted in a no vote is going to receive hassles. Because that's what the adversary wants to do. He comes in many forms. Family members may start fussing about you serving Yah, or changing from a Sunday worship to a Shabbat worship. They may say you should stick to the family tradition of religion. And that's what it is, religiosity. Friends may start mocking, but don't let any of it fool you. Behind it all is the one over whom you are being seated, Hasatan. Yeah. He doesn't want you to learn the truth, and he certainly doesn't want you to obey Yehovah's word. Speaking of light and enlightenment, the priests or Kohanim in the Tanakh or the Old Testament used a candlestick that has a 7-branched branches shaped like almond tree branches. It's called the menorah. The menorah has some very important spiritual truths that are attached to it. We all know that it was the light that formed the entrance to going into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. There's someone else who is the light. Yeshua is the light. And when we gaze upon him, we are changed into the same image and glory of him today. He is the light of the world. Can we go to slide 4, please? In 2 Corinthians and 3:18, it says, "So all of us, with faces unveiled, see as in a mirror the glory of Adonai, and we are being changed into his very image, from one degree of glory to the next, by Yehovah, the Ruach Kodesh." This sheds more light on the issue. Yeshua is spoken of in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 11, as the branch from the roots and the rod from the stem of Yishai, or Jesse, King David's father. Yeshua was of the family lineage of David, and the 7 spirits are noted to be upon him, just as the menorah has 7 candlesticks. They gave light. They had 7 flames. What is represented by the flame? The Ruach Kodesh came like flames on each person when it was first given. And the menorah has 7 flames. Can we go to slide 5, please? In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 11, 1-4. "But a branch will emerge from the trunk of Yishai. A shoot will grow from his roots. The spirit of Yehovah will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and fearing Yehovah. He will be inspired by fearing Yehovah. He will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but he will judge the impoverished justly. He will decide fairly for the humble of the land. He will strike the hand with the rod from his mouth and slay the wicked with a breath from his lips." We need these 7 spirits on us. Spirits in these verses is in Hebrew is ruachot, and also means winds or breaths. Everything about these thoughts points to one thing over and over. Without breath, there is no life. No life. The menorah, as I pointed out last week, is shaped like a tree and is the tree of life. whose fruit would have made Adam live forever had he chosen from that tree. But Yah breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Can we go to slide 6, please? In Yochanan, or John, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him, who was Yeshua, was life, and the life was the light of mankind. So Yeshayahu says, arise and shine over us, and we will then have a light that the others shall see and cause them to come to us. What we had shone upon us is then shone out from us to attract others. What we saw from Yehovah Elohim is now part of us. But Moshe, seeing Yehovah's glory, then coming down from the mountain, shining himself, changed things. In slide 7, please. Yochanan, John 20:22-23. Yeshua again says, having said this, Yeshua breathed on them and said to them, receive the Ruach HaKodesh. If you forgive someone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you hold them, they are held. Now, has the Ruach HaKodesh been given yet to every person? No, because it's not Acts chapter 2. We're only at Yochanan, we're only at John. And therefore the Talmudim, Yeshua breathed on them and gave them the Ruach that he had in him so that they could be his Talmudim and go out and do what he was doing. But was only for that 12. It wasn't for anybody else. When Yeshua breathed on them, he represented giving them the Ruach HaKodesh, which was given at the stage, but not to all who believed. Yeshua was not only like a new Adam, but he led the human race in Elohim's will, but also the Elohim, or God, who breathed life into Adam, according to Bereshit or Genesis. Our salvation should be like a burning lamp. Yehovah's power towards Yeshua HaMashiach is upon us. As I noted, that we noted that the tree-shaped menorah was more specifically spoken of last week as an almond tree shaped. So it was shaped like an almond tree. The Hebrew word for almond actually enhances the idea of what Yah is trying to show us about light. Almond in Hebrew comes from shaked, a word which means not asleep, wakeful and watchful. It means to be alert, in other words. It enhances the idea of light because light helps us watch or to see. We can't see in the dark. We need the light. If we're watchful in a dark world, we're going to carry light around with us. If you want to be watchful and alert, you will shine forth. We need light in order to be watchful. So many people don't care about whether or not there is a God at all. And that's a risk for them. People are so small-minded that they do not want to think about anything that occurs after death. Malachi was having a conversation with our neighbour through the week, and he seems to think after death you just go asleep. And that's it. After death, there's nothing. So they are alive now and healthy, and so who cares right now about what existence there may be after death? They don't care. But those who are watchful and alert make sure they learn about Yah and what's in store for everyone. They come to the light. If we are watchful, we will ensure our righteousness. We'll not be slack about making our hearts right with Yah. We'll not be slack about applying what we hear from the scriptures into our lives, because we are dutiful. What did Yeshua call the five virgins who ensured that they had enough oil in their lamps and ensured that they would be able to endure no matter how long a time passed into the night before the bridegroom came? He called them wise virgins. In slide 8, please. It says in Luke 12, 35 to 38, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit, like people waiting for their master's return after a wedding feast, so that when he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him without delay. Happy the slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Yes, I tell you, he will put on his work clothes, seat them at the table, and come serve them himself. Whether it is late at night or early in the morning, if this is how he finds them, those slaves are happy." Light goes hand in hand with watchfulness. It doesn't matter when the master comes, the wise and the watchful servants are ready for any moment. When the time comes, they are all set to open the door immediately. They are watching for him. They are waiting for him. They have their lights ready. That means they've received the light from Yeshua. How did Yeshayahu Isaiah 61 say we have the light upon us? It was so that we can shine out to others in this dark world. Yehovah shines his light on us first. Said, almond in Hebrew means to be watchful and alert. It also means to make haste. People who make haste are people who do not fool around. They are not slack, and neither is the almond tree. Do you know that the almond tree is the first tree in Israel to flower in spring? It is the first flower to bloom. It makes haste. It's ready. It's amazing how Yah uses symbols to produce from nature that tells the truth. If we lived over there, we would notice that it's the almond tree that flowers first. And yet each and every one of these, when they were told to make them for the tabernacle, it was to have each branch was the branch to be shaped like an almond tree. We often say a baby is bright and alert and watchful. That means that a baby is not falling asleep all the time, but it's alert, it's looking around, it's taking everything in. It's actually learning. It may not be able to speak, but they can tell, you can tell when you look at them if they're alert and if they're awake and bright. All of this is actually an indication of spiritual maturity. To all of you precious people watching online and you here in the room, Yehovah our Elohim wants you to serve him and become spiritually mature. He wants you to be so eager to grow in him so that we are responsible within the messianic community and the messages we share on his word that goes out. It has to line up with his word. You as a congregation are responsible with ensuring that your heart is ready to receive the word. We do not know the time or the hour. What if Yeshua should open the door out there and walk in at this very moment? How would you feel? Where would you be? Are you ready? Are you set to accept him the minute he walks in? You know, you could enjoy yourself in the world, but you are alert to the things of Yah and responsible with your life. So you deny yourself and keep in mind that Yeshua is coming, and we have got to be ready. We cannot afford to slip back into the world. And so many do slip back into the ways of the world. Even when you fail in sin, we must be alert to repent and be responsible enough to make it right again. You shine because you made sure the light shone on you first. When Shaul said in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that he will give light to the eyes of your hearts so that you will understand and hope to that which he has called you, he was actually saying, you need to be enlightened about some things. So you made up your mind to be enlightened about them. When Yah lights the eyes of your heart, you do not read the scriptures. When you come across something you do not understand, just forget about it and look for something you do understand. That's not opening up the eyes of your heart. If you are responsible to realize that Yah wants you to know the whole book, you've got to understand all of it. So the right thing to do is to make a point to ask about that verse or study it yourself in a prayerful study. Because we don't want to miss out on a thing, do we? The best thing to do is go back to its first mention. Put it in the context of the era that and the situation, as well as the nationality of the people that it's speaking about or being spoken to. If it's being spoken to the Galatians or to the Romans or to the Ephesians, they are all Colossians. They're all different people with different cultures, different instances that they were being spoken about. We have to go back to the context, to what the word is talking about, and to the people and to the era in which it was being done. That is really important. And first of all, go back to where it was first mentioned in Scripture, in the Tanakh, so that it all lines up. Because if it doesn't line up and you're not reading it correctly, you're not going to be enlightened as to what Yah wants you to know. This is all important when having a full understanding of the Scriptures. Make sure that you are truly saved. Make sure you learn what Yah wants you to learn. Not what I want you to learn. What Yah wants you to learn. Not what man thinks best for you. Make sure you stay alert and never slack off concerning the things of Yah. If you wonder why things happen, then make sure you find the answer. What is your condition with Yah? When did the things first start going wrong? Be pleasing to Yah in everything you say and do. Be mature, alert, and watchful enough to take what is in the scriptures and what is preached or taught, and not simply let it drift away after you receive it. Take it and pray about it. You don't have to believe everything I say. I'm not asking you to. But pray about it. Let Yah speak to you about it. And not simply take it in and say, oh, well, Minister Tamar said it, it's got to be right. No, it's what Yah speaks to you about that's important. I give you the best I can give you. But you've got to use what I give you and make sure that it lines up with your spirit and what Yah wants. Because the word preached or taught is like the seed sown in a field. Some ground is too hard to receive it. Other ground has too many concerns that are the thorns that choke it out. Or there's new seedlings from the seed of the word. Other ground doesn't even receive it to begin with. It bounces off so the birds can come and steal it. Every word that is brought has been carefully and prayerfully researched before it's presented to you. We can only share, those people that speak where I'm standing now, can only share what the Ruaka Kodesh has opened up for us to bring. We also understand that not everyone can receive it, as the parable tells us in slide 9, please, in Luke 8, verses 11 to 15. The parable is this. The seed is Elohim's message. The ones along the path are those who hear, but then the adversary comes and takes the message out of their hearts in order to keep them from being saved and trusting it. The ones on the rock are those who hear the word, accept it with joy, but these have no root. They go on trusting for a while, but after a time of testing comes, they apostatize, or in other words, they turn away. As for what fell in the midst of thorns, they are the ones who hear, but as they go along, worries and wealth and life's gratifications crowd in and choke them, so that their fruit never matures. But what fell in rich soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the message, hold on to it with a good, receptive heart, and by persevering, they bring forth a harvest. Every one of us can be wise. It's a matter of getting our priorities straight. Yehovah made this so that nobody really has to go to hell if they don't really want to, and will be responsible about their own souls. We can be alert and full of light and ready for him when he comes. It is up to us. If Yeshua walked in the room, as I said, at this very moment, would you be ready to receive him? Let us spend some time to put everything right with Yah through repentance before we come to the remembrance service. So just spend a little time at the moment with him and see if you have to repent of anything.